Hello, welcome. This is Jonathan Matthew Ritter with Crucify for Christ Ministries. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day, or maybe you're listening to this at night, or maybe it's not the weekend, maybe it's the weekday, maybe you're at work. Well, welcome. This is Crucify for Christ Ministries. If this is your first time listening, coming across this website, welcome. This is one of many sermons, so everything on this website is free to check out, so check out as many sermons as you want to. If you have any questions, you can reach out to me on this website at the very beginning. And I'm trying to do some work on my front page. I'm not very website friendly, so it's just a really basic website. If anybody out there that knows much about websites, you can give me a hand on fancying it up. I definitely would appreciate it. It's just not one of my gifts when it comes to that kind of stuff. It's just basic layout. Put the sermons on there. Put a Bible study on there. But at the very front of the page, there's a way you can email me. If you do email me that way, just make sure on the header you put Crucify for Christ Ministry. So if it does go to spam, and I look through my spam every month, and I get a lot of it, so I'm deleting a lot. It just, that gives me a chance to see me not deleting it right and missing it. So of course I have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. On Twitter, Instagram, I barely use those two sites. On Facebook, I'm on there pretty regularly, so you can send me, probably the best way to get in touch with me is Facebook. You can PM me. On this website, there's actually a button you can press. It'll send you straight to Facebook. Send me a invite, and we can talk that way. If you have any questions on any sermons that you come across, I'm available. I do work a 40-hour regular job too, so yeah, I do this as much as I possibly can. Try to put a sermon every week on here. It doesn't turn out that way every time because there's a lot of prayer, seeking God's direction on these sermons, and then putting the pen, just letting the Holy Spirit move. So I try to put one every week. It don't always turn out that way. I'm working on a few Bible studies. Been working on them. It's slow but methodical, I guess, in the sense of prep. But there are a few Bible studies on here. I try to put devotionals on here every week, a couple. So check those out. Encouragement throughout the week. Once again, if you have any questions, please just email me or you can Facebook me. Today, and we're almost into the next year, right? 2023, and on the cups of 2024. This year kind of flew by, but I want to wish all you guys a happy new year. Hope your year was pretty good. If not, we'll lift you up in prayers and pray that wherever you may be going through, that God is giving you strength to endure. And that's kind of what the message is for this week, is the mind of perseverance. That's the mind of perseverance. If you're taking notes, that's the key there. That is the sermon title, is the mind of perseverance, and basically how to cultivate that mind of perseverance. So if maybe you already know what perseverance is, you are persevering, maybe praise God on that. Because that's really key, is to be able to persevere to the things that we may encounter throughout this life. We'll be looking at James. That's James 1:12. That's our key verse. One verse, but a lot of stuff in this verse that we're going to get into. This is a spring scripture, a spring forth scripture. But this is our main scripture for this sermon today, this week. James 1:12. If you have your Bibles, James 1:12, that's chapter 1, verse 12. And the key thrust of this message today or this week is cultivating a mind of perseverance and how to cultivate that mind of perseverance. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endure temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just go into this message, guide and direct as you see, God. Lord, I don't know who will hear this or who will come across this, but we lift them up in your name, Jesus. I don't know what's going on in their lives. I don't know what they're dealing with, but you do, God. Lord, we pray over their life. They may be going through some form of sickness. They may be going through some type of family crisis, financial issues, mental issues. God, we lift them up. Maybe they're feeling isolated, hopeless. Maybe their peace and their joy is gone in their life. God, we lift them up to you. We know the only true source of our joy and peace and hope in our life is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we start losing that sight of that, we start distancing ourselves from that source. The source that is the one light source, that is Jesus Christ. And with him, when we cling to him, we start having that true peace, that true hope, and that true joy that only could be achieved through Jesus Christ, God. I pray as we just go into this sermon, you guide and you direct as you see fit. Holy Spirit, move. Move in me through my voice and to those that are here. Let the words penetrate their hearts and motivate their spirit. Wherever they may be in their life, in their walk with God, Lord, I pray they listen to the words of this humble man of God that the Holy Spirit has moved on to speak the words that you have laid out for me for this week in this sermon. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. There is, my friend, an unknown author I came across that penned these words, and I just want to share these words with you. This unknown author says this: is there no other way open, God, except through sorrow, pain, and loss, to stamp Christ's likeness on my soul? No other way except the cross. And then a voice still all my soul, as still with the waves of Galilee. Canst thou not bear the furnace heat? If the midst the flames I walk with them. I bore the cross, I know its weight. I drunk the cup I hold for thee. Canst thou not follow where I lead? I give thee strength, lean hard on me. We don't know who wrote those words, but one driving force that we can draw from these words is this, my friend. That person is truly understand. He truly knows all the... He's pointing to the one that truly knows all our pain and all our sorrow. He's pointing to the one that endure the most that anyone could endure in this lifetime, more than anything that we will endure on this earth, right, in this life. He's pointing to Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ understands. I may not understand what you're going through, but Jesus Christ, he truly does. And he doesn't tell us that in this life that we will not have tribulations. Can't help but think of John 16:33, where Jesus tells us, these things I have spoken to you, that in me ye may have peace. Within him we can have peace, my friend. In the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. Why? Because he has overcome the world. Jesus Christ has overcome the world. My friend, none of us will ever endure as much as our Lord Jesus Christ endured on the cross. Now here's James here. He would have been the half-brother of Jesus Christ, one of the leaders of the early church in Jerusalem. And there's no stretch in knowing that James would have been aware of the crucifixion of his half-brother and Jesus Christ rising from the dead. I want to tell you, my friend, Jesus Christ conquered the physical death, and this should give us enough hope to endure anything that you and I may will go through in this life. The crucifixion is, and the burial and the resurrection is powerful. He was physically dead. He was dead on that cross. He was placed in that tomb. He was dead. And he rose on that third day. And that right there should give us and tell us there is so much hope within that that should overshadow any despair that we may be having. There's hope in that to tell us that in this life, everything is only temporary. Listen to me right and write this down. Everything that you will experience, that I will experience on this earth is only temporary. When God decides to remove you from this earth, ready or not right, you will be looking at Him. If you are His or not, that will be the question. I pray that you are. If you are a child of God, of the living God, I want to tell you, when we die this physical life, this physical death, truly our best life begins then. All the pain and the sorrow that we experience in this life will be no more. Will be no more, my friend. And this is leading up to the main thrust, the thrust of this sermon. If you're taking notes, write this down. Write the heartbeat of this sermon is cultivating a mindset for perseverance. Cultivating a mindset for perseverance. We need this mind of perseverance in James here in verse 12. James 1:12. Let's look at that first part. In that first part, James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, the leader of the early church in Jerusalem, he says this, blessed is the man that endures temptation. Of course, that's the KJV, the NIV, the New Living Version, tells us, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Because having stood the test. Now many of us, including me, do not like trials. Trials in this life can be hard and painful. Many of us will not say that we are blessed when we are facing trials in our life. Now some may say, well, James, he's just kind of taking it. He's doing his own thing. But I want to tell you, all scripture is God breathed right. But if you want more proof text here, just flip over to Matthew 5, the most famous sermon given by Jesus Christ, the Sermon on the Mount. We only got a snapshot of this sermon because this sermon would have been most people have studied this and way a lot smarter than I am. Put this Sermon on the Mount several days long. That's a long sermon. But Jesus Christ uses the same word here, bless, as James is using. I want you to listen to Matthew 5:3, and we're going to read all the way to 12. The same word bless here is the same word in Greek that James is using, and Jesus Christ is using the same word here. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for the just be filled. Actually, I might have wrote that wrong there. I've typed this up. Blessed are those which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for the just be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecute they the prophets which were before you. If you truly would reflect on this passage, this would be very intense. Jesus Christ was a very intense person. He loved with intensity, so his truth came with intensity. In verse 11 to 12 in Matthew 5, he said, blessed when man shall revile us, will revile you, right, and us, and persecute you, and persecute us, and will say all manner of evil against you and me, right, us falsely for his name's sake. Jesus Christ tells us to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. I didn't know about you. Well, when I read these passages like this, I'm rattled. I'm shaken. See, Jonathan Ritter left to my own device. I can't rejoice or be exceedingly glad, or even call myself blessed when someone comes at me with such intentions. Now, here in America, we are not being persecuted like our brothers and sisters in other countries yet. I believe it's coming, but in a general sense, I know there have been individuals here in America that have been attacked and even killed for their Christian faith. There's this movie out there, and it's dealing with Columbine. And the name of the movie is I Am Not Ashamed. And Columbine, it happened at a high school. And this has been so long ago. But there was these two high school students that were targeting Christian high school students. And they bust into the school, right? And they killed several of the students that are professing to know Jesus. And one of the questions they asked is, are you a Christian, right? And one girl, and the movie's sad, and it's based on a true story, says yes. And then they say, well, you're going to meet them, and they kill her. And that happened in Columbine. That's the name of the movie, I Am Not Ashamed. So there is a level that happened, isolated events, but in a common practice in our country right now, that's not common practice yet. Other countries, they're way more persecuted than we are. And I cannot but help to think how many would truly stand on God's word when their heads are on the chopping blocks for their Christian faith. I pray there are many that will not back down from those that tell us that God's word is not important, it's not relevant for today. And we will say God's word is important as it was in James' time, as the prophets, the true prophets in our Bible, not all these guys masking around professing to be prophets that are money hungry. And there's a whole lot of them, ton of them, that are in it for the money. They have spent way more time, probably before I was born, racketing this eschatology, the study of the end time, and they have made profit galore. I pray their heart is right, and I pray that they are. But if you got a guy walking around in a $5,000 suit, he has planes worth billions of dollars, a mansion, and he's calling himself a prophet, I want to encourage you, ask you, look at the prophets in the Old Testament. Were they like that? Look at Jesus Christ. Was he like that? Now, that may rattle you. That may make you mad. It probably will, because you may know somebody that you follow that's like that. We're living in a culture today. These guys don't have to be solid. I'll tell you, back in the Old Testament, when a prophet made a wrong prophecy, he was stoned. And don't get too angry at me if we would do more stoning today of these guys that miss prophesying. There'd be less false prophets running around because they fear death. You stone your first false prophet, I guarantee you the prophet pool will drop so tremendously, it would even be funny. Now, I don't recommend that. I'm just saying the intentions are hard. Now, it breaks my heart to say that, but there are not many true prophets today. Many profess to be prophets, but not like the they're mostly false, and they're nowhere near like the prophets in the Old Testament. Nowhere near it. None of them were walking around with $5,000 suits and $1 million homes and jets and living this lavish lifestyle. How many people will stand on God's word? One day we'll find out, though. I promise you. I promise you, we are living in the last day. Time is wrapping up. I do not have to be a prophet to tell you, just a man aflame with God's word in my heart and my life, to tell you that we are living in the last days and time is wrapping up. But what I'm telling you, left to my own device, is my flesh. When I'm being attacked, I want to react, not in a very positive way. But thank God for the Holy Spirit in my life. He helps me. He keeps me in line. Even when I cross the line, he gets me right again. 2 Corinthians, right? 7:10. For godly sorrow works repentance to what? Salvation. Not repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death. Meaning, when we sin, our hearts are broken and the Holy Spirit convicts us. And this leads to repentance. While those that are not his will not have this godly sorrow. And that's the Holy Spirit keeping us in line. And he keeps me in line. And when we're looking at passages like this, we're blessed. We're blessed because the Holy Spirit helps us endure. He helps us persevere in the trials in life. Because he's working in our life, he wants us to grow in our walk with him. And guess what? Without trials in our life, we will not grow. So we need these trials in our life. This is the process of growing. And during this process of growing, we need to understand we are not alone, right? The Holy Spirit. This growing process, it shapes us. It molds us. It takes our eyes off ourselves and place our eyes on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he gave us the Holy Spirit to help us. Help us to endure, persevere, to process, to get this mindset, this cultivating mindset of persevering. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. John 14. Verse 15. Says, if you love me. And I was speaking of Jesus Christ here. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Listen carefully. Jesus Christ wants us to keep his commandments. Not my opinion. He is saying it right here in verse 15 of John 14. If you love me, keep my commandments. And he goes to 16. He says, and I will pray the Father, God, right? And he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That's very beautiful, guys. But you got to understand, verse 15, 16, there is a condition there for Jesus to pray to the Father to give you and I a comforter that may abide for us forever. What is the condition here? This is a condition. If you love me and keep my commandments. Now, salvation is by grace alone. We cannot save ourselves. That is true. But if you are his, you will want to seek his commandments every day. When we do this, what happens? Jesus Christ tells us he will pray to the Father. And he shall. He said he'll do it. This is a promise. He will pray that he will send a comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He will abide with us forever if we are walking in the truth, seeking his commandments. And let's read verse 17, and let's work our way a little bit more down here. I just want you, the point I'm pointing out here is I want you to understand that we cannot do this life on our own. We need the Holy Spirit in our life to be able to cultivate this perseverance mindset. Let's read verse 18. Actually, 17. And we'll work our way down to 27. So even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither know him. But ye know him, for he endure with you and shall be in you. Verse 18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Let a little while the world sees me no more, but ye see me because I live. You shall live also. And the day shall know that I am in my Father, and you're in me, and I am in you. He that have my commandments and keep them, it is to love me. And he that love me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and he will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, and not Iscariot here, Lord, how is it that I will manifest thyself unto us, and not unto this world? And Jesus answered, said, if a man love me, he will keep my, here it is again, guys. If a man, and that is right there, is man or woman, loves me, that loves Jesus, he will what? He will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And he will come unto me and make abode with me. He that love me, not keep not my sayings, the word which we hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. And these things I spoke unto you, being yet present with you. In verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And here is telling you this Comforter that he is speaking of. Jesus Christ is speaking of. The triune God. The God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's saying this Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, my friend, this is beautiful. When it's all said and done, the Holy Spirit is the one that comes into our lives, right? He provides that comfort. He provides that peace. He provides that joy. He provides that hope. But if we're not seeking his way, we're not seeking his commandments in our life, his word, we will not be drawing near to him. Listen carefully if you're taking notes. If we're not seeking that closeness with our Father, we're not seeking his word, we are not cultivating this mind of perseverance. To cultivate this mind of perseverance, we have to seek His Word, His commandments. Now, when I say commandments, what am I referring to? Immediately, you may think of the Ten Commandments, but Jesus made it really clear and easy for us to memorize. Some of us can probably quote the Ten Commandments, and I'll applaud you on that. You may have them memorized, but Jesus puts it this way in Matthew 22, 36 through 40. That's Matthew 22, 36 through 40. He made it very simple in memorizing these scriptures, and although application can be tough. He says in 36 through 40, he says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy what heart, and with all thy what soul, and with all thy mind. And Jesus says, this is the first and the great commandment. Jesus says, this is what I want. I want everything. I want your whole life. I want to be priority in your life. I want to be number one. Is he? Is he number one in your life? And then he follows with 39 and says, here's the second unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, all on these two commandments, these two, guess what? He said, hangs all the law. All the law and all the prophets. See, Jesus Christ is looking for full commitment. He is not looking for that Sunday Christian that comes to church for maybe 1 hour and then the rest of the week doing whatever he or she wants. They're not cultivating this perseverance mindset. When they are going to, when a trial comes for the name of Jesus Christ, and I believe when it's all said and done in America, there will be intense persecution that has not really ever truly been seen, I think. When I look at the scripture, let's get this comfortable Christianity, this lackadaisical preaching, this do what thy will philosophy. I can come to church on Sunday and do whatever I want the rest of the week. I don't have to worry about living a life that's honoring God. I don't have to worry about reading my Bible, studying God's Word, prayer, or fellowshipping with my brothers throughout the week. I don't have to worry about outreach with my church. If you have a church that does outreach, most of these churches that I know around here, they don't even care about doing outreach. And that, to me, is a church that will die. It's already dead. It doesn't even know it. Outreach is important. But Jesus tells us he wants it all. Every bit of it. He doesn't want your scraps. Many of us are giving him our scraps. And he don't want it. He's looking for a lifestyle. You may be like, meaning, what do you mean by lifestyle? I'm speaking of a life that is disciplined. And these are target words. I mean, as I mean is target words, most preachers will not hit on these. Why? Because majority of the people in their churches and outside their churches, these words do not make them happy. When you talk about lifestyle changes and disciplining yourself, our society is not about discipline. We got people running around rampant that don't even understand what it means to discipline your body nor your mind. And that's just general speaking in this world. Obesity rates are increasing. The love of pleasure. Marriages are declining. Open marriages are increasing, meaning You don't have to be faithful. Instead of being disciplined yourself, that woman is not my wife. I should be looking at her. I discipline my mind not to do that through God's word, through the help of the Holy Spirit. These things are falling apart. This is why preachers don't preach on lifestyle changes or disciplining yourself. Their target words, they will not make their congregations happy because they're running rampant. They are Sunday morning Christians that go and loosely use that word Christian. But as soon as they walk out of them church, the flesh is gone wild. Let me put it this way. My flesh wants a lot of things. If you like me, you like watching TV. When I get home from a hard day of work, my flesh, Jonathan Ritter's flesh, wants to lay down on the couch and see what's on TV. With all the streaming platforms available, with hundreds of movies and at my disposal, along with TV series, I want to sit down and just drown my mind with mindless entertainment. My flesh does not want me to go into my study. My flesh does not want me to study God's word and pray. But discipline, right? The help of the Holy Spirit helps me say no to my flesh. The Holy Spirit helps me discipline my mind to go deeper into study and prayer. And I don't know what your flesh likes, but I want to tell you, when it comes to studying God's word and prayer, your flesh will do everything in the world to stop you from doing this. But we got to discipline our mind, right? When we start doing this, guess what happens? We cultivating this mind of perseverance. This leads to us seeking God's will in our life. When we start doing that, we start seeing through the lens of God, right? What He needs us to do that during that day or that during that night. We start wanting what God wants, desiring what He wants us to have in our life, not what we want. I want a full-time ministry, but right now I don't have one. At this time, God wants me to do, He doesn't want me to have a full-time ministry. So I'll lean on Him. I'll walk in the journey that He's laid out for me every single day. I'll obey Him. Because when this life is said and done, God knows in my heart, He knows I love Him. And I would love to be in a full-time ministry, but God chooses not to open that door right now. So I have this website, and yes, I go and I preach different locations throughout the year, but it's not full-time ministry, right? But if this is all He wants me to do in this life, because He's God, He can open doors left and right if He chooses. And I promise you, I'll look for those doors when they do open. But I'd rather follow the direction of the Holy Spirit than my own intentions. He knows best. I do not believe in unanswered prayers. I believe the answer is no, yes, and wait. And when we hear the word yes, we love that word. But no and wait is not our favorite words, because our flesh wants instant gratification, instant pleasure. If today was my last day, and this was my last sermon, I know I'm doing what God wants me to do, and when I see my Jesus, He will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have exercised your mind of perseverance. You walked the path that I laid out for you." I could have already probably been a pastor at several churches if I would just have compromised. But I will not compromise God's word. I'm speaking here in Louisiana. I could have probably been pastored at now probably at 4 churches easily. But I will not compromise. Many wanted me to compromise who I, and I'm not even going to talk about that, but I'll just say the spiritual condition of the churches I've been to, majority of them, is rotten. My heart cries out, maybe through persecution, maybe 2024 when it will be worse than 2023. Maybe that will open their eyes to the truth of the gospel. Maybe it won't. Maybe it'll open their eyes to the will that God has for them and the perseverance of their mind. Maybe true salvation in their life. But we have to exercise this mind of perseverance. And when we do that, we start walking the path that God has set for us. And when we walk in that path that God has set for us, James tells us in the other part of this verse, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You see, when we persevere in this, life with the mindset of keeping his commandments, walking in his will, we will receive this crown of life that our Lord Jesus Christ has promised all that love him. I can't help but think of Matthew 23, 30, 60, 40. Write it down, memorize it. Let's read it again. It says, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hung all the law and the prophets. When we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ and we live a life with this type of love overflowing in our life, no matter what we are going through, right? No matter how intense, those that hate God will revile you, they will persecute you, they will say all manner of evil against you, but you will keep pressing on because you know the worst they can do is what? Take your life. And that is not the worst, because if they take your life, they kill you. Guess what? We get to go home to our Father. And this crown of life will be received because of our love, our intense love for Jesus Christ. And those that will stand in the midst of those that will hate our Lord Jesus Christ and will stand up on truth. And I will tell you, if you don't believe truth is not being challenged, biblical truth is not being challenged, man, you must be hiding out in a basement somewhere. Here in America, homosexuality, and in other countries, of course, but the man and women with women, the marriage, right? Legal? Abomination to God? Start preaching on that. Immediately, you're going to get some flack. Jesus Christ said, I created male and female. Pointing to Genesis, right? Male and female. Adam and Eve. Example of marriage. A man and a woman. Divine. Satan corrupts it. Man with man. Woman with women. Then you come and you start hearing the term like the people calling gay Christians. We're gay, but we're Christian. No, you're not. You may be gay or Christian, but you are not both. That boldness right there. They even have their own Bible, the Queen James Bible, which I've talked about before. Perversion. But the boldness of the pulpit talking about this. You start hearing crickets. The platforms out there, big platforms. Billions upon billions of followers. Crickets. Because they ain't going to pronounce truth. Because this truth will get them, not those billions and billions. That truth will destroy their empower that they have allowed Satan to build for them. You will have them out there that were saying that Jesus Christ is not the only way, that he's just one of many ways to the Father. I want to tell you, if you know me, you've heard me preach on this website or in person, you will hear me say John 14:6. He is the truth. He's the way. He's the life. No one comes to the Father except through him, right? He is the only way. He makes that bridge to the Father. There's no other name that can save you. That's the name of Jesus Christ. And when you start announcing these truths, because he is the truth, but hangs all the other truths, right? That point to the Bible. God's word. When I say there's multiple ways to Jesus, you don't have to go through Jesus to be saved, then I am not preaching the gospel. I'm preaching another gospel. And see, men like me and others that one day that will pronounce this, that will stand depending on what platform we're on at that point in time, we will be persecuted. I believe we are eventually in America that homosexuality will, to preach against homosexuality will be considered hate speech, discriminative in nature. It within the confines of a physical church or online, and online all they'll do online is just basically block the context or the website and stuff, and they'll block that and ban those websites. By then there won't be no online preaching. Those that are preaching the truth and result to in-person churches preaching. And it's a matter of time for them to trickle down into the churches. To ban that. And don't think there ain't going to be preachers that won't accept the mandate, and that won't turn other preachers in for violating it. It's going to get pretty bad for us all said and done from our perspective. But those that endure, right? Blesses the man. Blesses the woman. Right? Endure temptation, that endures trial, that perseveres to the end, right? For when he or she is tried, they will receive this crown of life. If that's the case, so be it. In closing all this out, I want to ask you, do you have this mind of perseverance? Do you have this mind of cultivating this perseverance in your life? That key scripture, James 1:12, blesses the man that endure temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. We are blessed, my friend, when we are enduring temptation, we're enduring trials in this life, especially for Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, our society is moving farther and farther away from God, and this will increase next year, and will increase the next, I promise you. We will be challenged on standing on God's word. What I call simple truths like marriage between a man and a woman. Homosexuality, right? Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. These statements. There's only one name that can save you. Jesus Christ. Are you willing to stand? Have you prepared your mind to endure? To persevere. You will fail or fall in these trials if you are not putting God first in your life right now. Right now, the persecution, especially here in America, is not intense. Now, you may be listening from another country and you may be more being physically persecuted more. And my heart goes out to you. You may be over there in China or the Ukraine or Russia or Germany or Japan or China. You know, these places are being, our brothers and sisters are being persecuted announcing the true Jesus Christ. They're saying, they are standing on God's word and they're going against the government that telling them that they're not correct. But when it comes here to America, if you are not having God first right now and you're struggling with that, just think how bad it's going to be when it really, really gets bad. We ain't seen nothing yet. God should be priority in our life, right? He wants number one. He wants to love, wants us to love Him with everything we got. Intensity in our life. Through our studying of God's Word. Through our prayer life. How is intense is your prayer life? That's between you and God. But I am just pointing to you. I'm asking you. God knows you ain't hiding from Him. You may ignore this preacher and decide to go your own way, but you're not going to cultivate this perseverance in your life. And when these things come out and you're calling yourself a Christian and it really gets real that you may do jail time or even get killed, you're not going to stand that test. Because you ain't prepared your heart, truly. Your heart, your mind, your soul. Keeping His commandments, leaning on His word, keeping Him priority in your life. See, when we lean on His word and we breathe in His word daily more than anything else, we should desire His word more than the oxygen that we breathe. Hour or two a day studying God's word, that should suffice. Prayer for an hour or two, that should suffice. Oh, preacher, you're getting extreme. We don't want to hear it. I want to tell you, I love you too much not to tell you we need to cultivate this mind of perseverance. And we're not cultivating this mind of perseverance because we are not doing what God has told us through His word. If you love Him, you will keep His commandments. You love Him, He will be number one in your life. Period. Nothing else. Everything second, third, fourth. He will be number one. And when we do this, we take our eyes off ourselves and we place our eyes on Jesus Christ and we lean to the Holy Spirit and guiding us and directing us with His will, His purpose, His desires, His dreams, wherever He wants us to be, wherever He needs us to be. We say, I will follow, we will step. It may not be where I want to be, but it's where Jesus Christ needs me to be. So I will stay until He opens the next door and I will step in that next door. And I will gladly keep on pressing on until the very end, until my very breath is extinguished from this life. And I'm looking at my Jesus Christ. And I can take that crown of life down and throw it at His feet and say, you get all the honor. You get all the glory. Praise His holy name. And I pray that you share that with me. That you share that intense passion and desire to persevere, to cultivate this mind, to stay grounded, rooted in His commandments, in His word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to get into your word. God, I pray, Lord, as we close this out, as we close this out, we reflect the message that you have given me to preach on. Do we have this mind of perseverance for this coming year? Are we cultivating this mind of perseverance? Have we truly made you number one? Or have we put you on the back burner too long? God, I pray if we've put you in the back burner too long, God, I pray those that are listening have done this. You rattle them, you shake them to the point of repentance. Godly sorrow works repentance. They recognize the error of their ways. they get back into your word. They desire it more than anything else. More than anything that this world can offer, all the fleshly pleasures that this world offers, the conveniences that this world offers. I pray they put them all aside, cast them to the ground. Say, God, here I am. Use me. Guide and direct me as you see. I know I have squandered this life that you have given me. I've squandered last year. I have truly not been a light that you needed me to be. I haven't been cultivating this spirit of perseverance that you speak through your word. To endure the things that may go, that will intensify in your name. Help me, God. Bless me, God. Direct me, God. Let my hands be yours. My feet be yours. Open the doors as you see fit. Give me strength to step through the doors that you open. Let the Holy Spirit pour as he needs to in my life and those around. Let my blood bleed your word. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. Love you guys. Once again, you can reach me through this website. Or you can Facebook me. You can send me a private message if you need to. Any questions that you may have on this sermon or any others on here. Ton of sermons on here. So do that. Love you guys. Y'all have a happy and safe new year, which is, we are, it's 4:44 right now on Sunday, and we are about, 8 hours away from the next year or something like that. So happy new year. Remember, put Jesus first in everything you do. Love y'all. Y'all have a good one.